All right, welcome back. Brendan Lowe Show at 95 The Sports Fox. Take us on the go at 95thesportsfox.com. Also available on your TuneIn app and, of course, our podcast segments, interviews, all that good stuff over with iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, all those streaming services over there. So you can find us everywhere. Of course, give us a follow on Twitter at WBES. Brendan Lowe on the line. Bracketologist, one of the best in the business, one of the most accurate in the country, USA Today. He does stuff with collegeinsider.com, various sites, and he's got his own site, bracketwag.com. That's bracketwag.com. He is Shelby Mash. Shelby, welcome back to the program, my friend.
Brandon, thanks for having me as always.
All right, so you update your bracket over there daily. We got some conference tournaments going on. ACC started today, I believe. They're in action, and you know, had a couple other mid-majors also kind of wrap up some things. Who is the latest, if those aren't paying attention with some of those mid-majors, who's the latest to kind of punch their ticket into the tournament?
Last night we had Iona win the MAC, and we had Wofford win the Southern Conference in a fun game against UNC Greensboro, who I really hope the committee takes a long look at. I fear they're not going to make it, but they are a very good team. But Wofford is going to be a handful for whoever plays them.
Yeah, we talked about Wofford before. I've talked about Wofford with Greg Peterson. You got them right now on the 7 line, along with Louisville, Iowa State, and Villanova. So you definitely think very highly of the Terriers.
Yeah, they're 29-4. The record alone is incredible. But their only losses are to Power 5 schools. They lost to North Carolina by 11, Kansas by 25. That was a bad one, but that was Kansas at full strength. The other two Power 5s, I forgot who they are right off, but they only lost by 11 on those games either. So they were somewhat competitive games except for Kansas. So they have proven they can win. They were undefeated in conference play and then win the conference tournament. Any team that does that is going to be a team that's a handful come the tournament. And Gonzaga is another example. They're undefeated in conference, and once they win tonight, they'll be undefeated in the tournament. So you got to watch those guys.
You got Gonzaga at the one seed, as you should, and a lot of people think this may be their year to actually win a national championship, so we'll kind of have to keep an eye on that. Before we get into some of the biggest moves with your bracket here at bracketwag.com, let's talk about that mid-major thing, because I've kind of advocated that, you know, I don't think there should be maybe several that come out of some of those conferences, but I feel like, you know, you mentioned UNC Greenville over there. I feel like those type of schools should get a chance, even though they don't win the conference tournament. I feel like you should be able to get a two-bit, and I know they do that at times at some of these conferences, but it's unfortunate for those mid-majors that you pretty much got to win your conference tournament to be in.
Yeah, you do, and I dislike that. The committee, I know, understand what they're trying to do. For the at-larges, they pick the 36 best teams that they vote on. It's a voting process, and it's not a quick process. They spend a lot of time on it. But in the end, I would prefer to see UNCG, who is 28-6, over Florida, that's 17-14. I would like to see Lipscomb, who's like 25-6, over, say, Creighton, that's 18-13. I have Belmont in at 26-5 right now. I think they have a good shot to make it. We'll see. Those other teams, I think, will be in the discussion, as well as Furman. But it's too bad those teams, you know, they do what they can to try to schedule the big boys. And now with this new net, the way it's working, you're not going to see any of these games anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, got Shelby Mash, bracketologist with USA Today at collegeinsider.com. Bracketwag.com is his website. That's bracketwag.com. We're in the midst of these conference tournaments really heating up throughout this week, and then, of course, we'll have Selection Sunday coming up. What do you think about them announcing they're going to go back to the original format of Selection Sunday? I like it better.
No, absolutely. Last year was such a train wreck. I wanted to turn the TV off, but I had to watch to see who got in. the normal way, the way we're used to, that's the way it should be done all the time. Don't bring out cheerleaders and all that stuff. It was just a train wreck, and I think they heard enough from fans on social media and elsewhere to know that they messed up.
All right, let's look at some of the bigger moves and maybe some teams that you maybe either moved in or moved out. What are some of the teams? What was some of the biggest moves you did with your bracket lately?
Well, the Big Ten has got a couple teams that are slipping in Ohio State and Minnesota. Those two teams, I have them in right now. I'm not comfortable with them. Also, I've got the Big East with six teams in. I don't think that's going to happen. But looking at things right now, you can make a case that St. John's, Georgetown, and Creighton, who are my bottom three that are in, should be out or could be out. My problem is trying to find another worthy team that I think the committee would put in. I would love it if it was one of those mid-majors, but I just don't think it will because these teams have more better wins on their resume.
You have Tennessee now down at that two line there. A lot of people think they're going to slip and be a two seed. They have been struggling as of late. Those that originally were trying to maybe go with Tennessee to win a national championship, should they be concerned at this point?
I don't know. I mean, teams go through they have slumps during the year. They've only lost four games, so they're a good team. And they've got upperclassmen leading that team. I think that's a big thing that a lot of people are overlooking. Most of these bigger teams have young guys, mostly freshmen, playing in the backcourt and in the middle. And I think in the backcourt, you want to have upperclassmen, guys who are a little bit more level-headed. Grant Williams at Tennessee is a perfect example. That guy can get to the free throw line anytime he wants to, and he makes them fairly often. That you want a guy like that having the ball in his hand in crunch time. He's not going to be scared of the situation or nervous. He's going to take it to the hole and do what he needs to do. And then you've got Admiral Schofield out there who's he seems like he's a man among boys out there. I don't know what his NBA prospects are, but that's a guy I want on my team. So you got two guys like that on your team. I think your prospects are pretty good.
You now have North Carolina at that one line. You have Virginia, Duke, North Carolina, and Gonzaga. And so now you have Duke and North Carolina there. I've asked you about Duke before. They said Zion's going to be back. Williamson's going to be back here soon. So Duke, for me, is still another center is counted out as a Bolden kid. I feel like Duke is still should be, in my opinion, outside of Gonzaga, one of the true favorites to win a national championship, especially with Zion Williamson playing. But North Carolina, I know Zion didn't play those games. North Carolina is also trending up. What's the ceiling for UNC? And is if Duke, if Zion Williamson comes back, I know they're still bad on some health, but I feel like Duke should be the outright favorite. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. Zion is the key to the whole top line and part of the two line, because if he does come back and he's not 100% or if he just doesn't come back, they'll be on the two line unless they win the ACC tournament without him. I can't see that happening, though. He is the key, and Kentucky fans, I've heard a lot from them, hey, why aren't we on the one line? Well, it all depends on Zion. If he's not healthy, then Kentucky, I think, moves up.
What's the stock on UNC right now? I mean, I know Roy Williams has them playing pretty good right now, but North Carolina seems to do that at times throughout the years. They seem to be trending up, and then the times you need them to win, they lose games that they shouldn't lose. Is UNC one of those teams maybe that could maybe go early in the second round or possibly, you know, make it possibly the Sweet 16? I wouldn't want to call this team Elite Eight or Final Four, but I feel like UNC is just one of those teams that you just can't trust.
Yeah, I don't trust them. I think they have a very nice resume. They have a lot of very nice wins. But, again, the trust factor doesn't come into the selection process, luckily for them, because then they might not be in the discussion for the one line. I don't see – I think they'll probably end up on the two, but they have a legitimate chance. If they beat Duke for a third time, then I can't see them not being on the one line. But then when it comes to picking your teams to advance, that's where the trust factor comes in for me.
Certainly. Murray State always jumps out to me. You got them at the 12 line there with possibly either Georgetown or Florida right there, Liberty, and then Creighton, possibly Belmont. You know, you got kind of maybe a prediction there what teams, you know, depending on what happens with some of these conference tournament games. But Murray State, I've been hearing a lot about them. They're 27-4. I'd love to see what they could do if they get in there and make some noise. And I know we've talked about them before. Outside of like maybe a Murray State, what's some more kind of dark horse teams that you've kind of put in here or what you're kind of paying attention to?
Well, on the 13 line, the 12-5 is where the upsets seem to always happen. That's what you always pick at least one every year. Well, 13-4 is becoming that now. The four seeds do lose a lot more than they used to in the first round. So watch out for New Mexico State and UC Irvine. UC Irvine is the best team in California this year. They will be a tough out. New Mexico State, 27-4 right now. They played Kansas at the Sprint Center in Kansas City, which is close to considered a home game for Kansas. But they led late in that game, and Kansas only won by three, and Kansas was fully healthy then. So New Mexico State's going to give somebody fits.
Back up to the three line, LSU 26-5. They got a lot of things going on with their program right now. Their coach suspended indefinitely. How much of a factor does that play into? I know, again, you said, you know, obviously the seeding stuff and you picking where they potentially could be doesn't necessarily depend or doesn't factor in, you know, how far they go in the tournament. But in your opinion, LSU, with everything going on, they've had a nice season. They've stayed around in the top 10. But with everything going on with their coach, I think that's a big factor in how far they go in the tournament.
It could be a factor in their seed as well, because if the committee finds out that Will Wade is not going to be there for the NCAA tournament and players are going to be out because of suspension, that could potentially drop them a seed line, maybe two, but usually that in that case it's just one.
Finally, Kansas continues to kind of go through some things. Vic's not going to be back, and they've been battling through some injuries. I'm going to talk some Big 12 here, as I like to do with you. Texas Tech, you have them at the 3 line. You have Kansas at the 4 line. You got Iowa State at the 7. Just kind of naming some of those top teams there at the top. I think you had TCU in there, didn't you? Yeah, TCU kind of in danger.
Yeah, they're 11.
Yeah, they're danger, though, of a lot of people maybe think they may not get in there. It depends on what they do in the Big 12 tournament. But the ceiling there seems pretty high with some of those teams like Texas Tech. And I think Texas Tech, in my opinion, at this point, and a lot of people are still high up on Iowa State a little bit, but I think Texas Tech, I like where you have them on the 3 line. I think Texas Tech potentially could make a really deep run. I have Texas Tech. If I'm filling out a bracket right now, I'd have Texas Tech potentially an Elite Eight team.
Oh, absolutely. I like that team. I like what Chris Beard has done there. They play something you don't see too terribly often with the bigger schools having solid offense and solid defense. Usually it's one or the other, and then the other is okay. They play really good at both ends of the floor. They've got athletes. Culver is a stud. He will be an NBA player. I don't know about a star, but a player. Chris Beard's just got it working right now. And if rumors are true, what I'm hearing, he may be in line to be the next Texas coach. I hope for Texas Tech's sake that doesn't happen.
Yeah, certainly. And, of course, you know, everybody's talking about when Shaka Smart's time will be up with things that he's doing there. But, you know, Shaka Smart, of course, has that really – I think he has the top recruiting class or one of the top recruiting classes there in the country right now, along with some of those.
He's had a very high-rated recruiting class, seems like, each year, and they're a mediocre team.
Yeah, certainly. All right, finally, I want to talk about I saw on your site, and I'm interested in this because you can win some cash, man, and I'm excited. You've partnered with a certain website for March Madness pool, and kind of tell the folks where they can go and sign up and the ID and all that and the pool name, where they can go and possibly win some cash.
Yeah, this group approached me a couple weeks ago, or heck, it's been about a month ago, and the idea of it really intrigued me. You fill out your brackets just like you normally would, and if you win, you get $1,000. It's free to play. That's pretty cool. But if you refer a friend and your friend wins, you get $5,000. So the incentive here is to get all your smart and lucky friends entered, and if they win, you get $5,000. The website is playbalto.com, PLAYBALTO. It is sponsored or backed by Joe Montana. There's a big-time name right there. And my pool is called Bracket Wag, capital B, everything else lowercase, and the code to get in is 95999. You can find this information on my website at bracketwag.com. I want to try to get as many people in my pool. I want to have the biggest pool they have so that they approach me again next year and say, hey, let's do it again.
I certainly will be going over there and signing up too, my friend, and hopefully I can win maybe that. I'd be happy with $50 with my luck with some of these tournament challenges. But man, $1,000, $5,000 possibly. Playbalto.com again. I'll be signing up over there and make sure to check out Shelby Mass's website. He updates it daily. Bracketwag.com. That's bracketwag.com. And you know you're one of the best, man. I love having you on the show and appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks for having me as always, Brandon.